I don't know about you, but as I was growing up, I loved superheroes. Anyone else? No? Yeah, Superman. I guess I have to be honest, I still do, all right? So, you know, Captain America, Batman, Superman. I even used to watch the old Hulk, you know? And I watched it the other day, and I'm kind of embarrassed that I used to watch it. But anyway, Iron Man, the X-Men, and on, they're always fighting for justice, right? And they're always fighting to protect humanity from something or other. I also really love biblical superheroes. I mean, there's no way I can name them all, but just going through Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Daniel. Probably the biggest story that really struck my curiosity is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Of course, Jesus, the 12 disciples, the Apostle Paul that we have been studying the last several weeks. I mean, there's many, many more. Another superhero I have in my life is my dad, and he is still my superhero today. One of my prayers today is that when I grow up, I'll be half the man that he is. I'm sure each of you have superheroes in your life, right? From fantasy to biblical to real-life people that made positive influences on your life. Well, as we continue our teaching series on Romans in chapters 13 through 15... Paul is bringing his letter to a close. He's starting to turn the corner and bring it to a close. And in these chapters, he talks about those who are strong in the faith, those who are mature Christians, those who no longer need to suckle their mother's milk, those who teach correct doctrine and live the same life, what we might call righteous living. And as he summarizes his letter, he lifts up basic ways that Christians should live in the church community and a couple of ways how we should react with the world. And one of the first ones that he, if you want to follow along this morning, one of the first ones that he raises is how we should interact with the world. And I have to admit, of course, I have several issues as I've been reading Romans. And I'm sure I'm to blame on that. But he says this. Now you have to think. Think about the world in Paul's day, right? Roman authority was absolute, right? As a matter of fact, what we might call the king of the Roman Empire was considered Christ, was considered the anointed one, was considered a god in a way, right? And that's why Jesus was such a threat, right, to the Roman Empire. That's one of the reasons why Jesus was such a threat, is because that wasn't the way Jesus understood things. But anyway, listen to what the Apostle Paul says to us in beginning in chapter 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Honestly, that kind of makes my skin crawl, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, I almost thought about leaving it out of today's sermon. You know, just maybe tearing that page out and setting it over here so I don't have to deal with it, right? Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Think on that for just a little bit. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment, for rulers are not a terror to do good conduct. Now, I mean, you can think about even in the Roman days, I mean, in a way, they were a terror, right? But yet Paul says that rulers are not a terror to do good conduct, but to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of authority? Then do what is good and you'll receive its approval. For it is God's servant for your good. So be subject to the governing authorities, right? Maybe all of us should read verses 1 through 7 and do some Bible study on those verses to fully understand what Paul might mean by that. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. And then he moves immediately from that. Remember now, these are basic bullets for righteous living, right? He says to have love for one another. In verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So he's moved with how the Christian community should relate to the world to how the Christian community should relate to one another. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now listen to this. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling the law. Now, if you can hear that, he is beginning to work on the idea of love, and 1 Corinthians 13 comes later on as that gets more mature in his understanding of love. And then he has an urgent appeal for us. And see, in the Apostle Paul's day, he believed that any moment Jesus was coming back, right? Whenever he instructed people, you know, if you don't have a longing for the opposite sex, don't marry. Because Jesus is going to come back tomorrow, right? I mean, many things that Paul says, it means that, I mean, before his life ends, Jesus is coming back, right? And so he says, this is an urgent message. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. That still works for us today, doesn't it? Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. It's an urgent message. And quite honestly, it still is an urgent message, is it not? I mean, do we even know that we will leave this place today? I might have a heart attack and not walk out of this place, right? Honestly. And so we need to share this message that Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul, is giving us, because it truly is an urgent message. We have no idea, or maybe we do, of the people that cross our paths daily or weekly that need to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. Then he says something interesting beginning in verse 14. He tells us that we should not judge another. Now listen to this. Welcome those who are weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Right? Welcome those who are weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything while the weak eat only vegetables. I thought that was interesting. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain. And those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Now, why do you think eating is a big deal to Paul? What is Paul? Jewish, right? Not only is he Jewish, but he is a rabbi, right? And the Jewish faith had a, kosher Everything had to be kosher, right? We call it today. Right, and he's saying, okay, we have Gentiles and we have Jews worshiping together here. Let's not quarrel on what we should eat, if you should be circumcised, if all this should take place. We are not following many things in the Jewish law anymore because Christ died for all, right? We can eat whatever, but here's the thing. Whenever we go to his next point, we should not make others stumble. Now, this is a toughie, isn't it? I have to admit, in my 20s, I kind of rebelled against this, right? Not my responsibility. We never said that, have we? Am I the only one in this room that's ever said that? I'm not my brother's keeper, right? Yeah, he says, let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. You know, this is something interesting because Peter is Petros. And back whenever Jesus and the disciples were teaching, Jesus called Peter Petros, right? And he says, on this rock, Petros is rock, I will build my church, right? Now, the next chapter, Jesus calls Peter a stumbling stone. Remember, he says, Satan, get behind me. And he calls Peter a stumbling stone, right? That is intentional. And, you know, Peter, Petros, on this rock I will build my church. And yet, Peter, stumbling stone, get behind me. And Paul is saying never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. So as we live our life, right? What does that mean? If we go to dinner and have a glass of wine and we are eating with an alcoholic and we know that they're an alcoholic, is what's Paul saying? We probably shouldn't have the glass of wine, should we? Right? Now, I don't want you leaving here saying our pastor doesn't think we should be drinking alcohol. That's not what I said at all, is it? I said if you're, you know, if someone's having an issue, whatever it may be, right? Don't put a stumbling block in front of them. Lift them up. Communicate with them the issue that they're having. Pray for them or say, tell them you'll be praying for them, but do not make another stumble as best we know. There are many things that we don't know in other people's lives that are going on. So now here's the thing. He brings this all together by saying, we who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, whenever he says that, this is the people that he's talking about that are strong in the faith, right? These are people who, like John Wesley would say, love God and love their neighbor, right? These are people who we might call very wise, right? People that we look up to as folks that we would like to be like my dad for me, right? When I grow up. But, and the failings of the weak are those new Christians, those people that have just entered into the church, that maybe have, especially in Paul's day, well, there are people in our day that still don't know who Christ is. But they're weak in that they have not been around and been in it for very long, right? We need to love them, we need to accept them, we need to pray them up, right? We need to have grace abound, right? Put up with the failings of the weak. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but died for all of us. And then, of course, Paul brings it all together with our scripture for today, which I love his benediction here. It's the first benediction in Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, Paul calls us to be subject to authorities, to love one another. He said we should share the message that has been given to us with urgency. We do our best not to make another stumble, but to lift them up. We do our best not to please ourselves, but we please others, so that we can be the hope of the world. Let us pray. Dear God, we love you, and we thank you for this amazing writer of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul. Who knows, Lord, where we would be as a church today without his wisdom, without his love for you, without all the harshness that he put up with, Lord. Help us be a little more like Paul. Help us not live in fear to share this wonderful message that he has, but help us with joy and hope go out in the world and share the grace and the love that you have given us in Jesus Christ. We love you, God. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.